For those of you who don't know me, my name's Nicholas Negroponte. And let me, first of all, thank you for coming. There are many countries in this room. There are many people who have traveled a long distance. Some people have traveled as long as 2 days to get here. And not everybody in the room knows that this is the first of actually 4 days. It's a four-day sequence. Roughly half the people in the room are only coming for the first day, which is purposely has speakers and summaries and is basically the spirit and sort of the state of OLPC. And then tomorrow, and then progressively more the next day, and the next day it gets more technical and more with regards to rolling out into specific countries. So it's a mixture of people. You'll all see and hear things a little bit differently. Some of you are old friends. I see many old friends and faces in the audience, and some of you are here for the first time. And I am just going to start for 5 minutes reminding people of what I think, to me, is the most important and distinguishing feature of one laptop per child, and that is something that I have to on occasion remind myself. Now let me see if I can get the first one to click. This is what I will talk about afterwards and go through these subjects, and I'll go through them very, very quickly, including number four, announcing, or at least showing for the first time, the next generation laptop. But in my introductory remarks, I want to just spend 2 seconds on the fact that we sometimes at OLPC, in our own behavior, forget that we're a nonprofit humanitarian operation, partly because we have to behave in a very business-like fashion and execute things. But I wanted to tell you a little story, because when I started OLPC, the advice I got across the board, absolutely everybody said this to me, said, make it a profit-making organization and earn lots of money and then take the profits and use them to give away laptops. And the argument was that this would attract the best people, because you could give stock options, and it would be sustainable. And one thing that I had told my son all of his life, I said, you know, Dimitri, it's possible in a situation for everybody to be wrong. Just because everybody thinks something doesn't mean it's right. And I don't know why it took me so long to take a page out of my own advice and realize, you know, everybody's wrong. We really should be a nonprofit. And as a consequence of being a nonprofit, three things happened that may be obvious in retrospect, but they're really all quite remarkable, and one of them will be illustrated in a few moments. But the first thing that happens when you're a nonprofit is that you can team up with very different people. Kofi Annan would not announce the concept of a laptop with Intel or Microsoft or somebody who, Michael Dell or something, because it was a humanitarian effort. We have partners who would just not be our partners. There are many people in this room who are partners that come from organizations that are humanitarian, that are concerned with making the lives better for people. They're not concerned about their shareholders. They don't have a fiduciary responsibility to shareholders, and that's very fundamental. The second thing that happens that is perhaps more obvious is that the clarity of mission is perfect. In other words, when we started, particularly when it was all words, one of the things that's so important to me about this meeting is that it's less about words. You're going to hear about people implementing, executing. Over 500,000 laptops have been, or at least about to be built, most of those shipped, many of those in the hands of kids. It's real. But when it was words, and it was promises, and it was ideas, and one had to talk to a head of state or a minister of education, the clarity of purpose was such that they'd see me, they'd talk to me. And it wasn't, you know, mistaken identity or sort of MIT reputation or that sort of thing. It was that it was a nonprofit with a mission talking about children and learning. And then the third thing that happened, which to me was the most magical, I was told as I said a few moments ago, that if you make a nonprofit, you're not going to get good people because they want stock options. And so about a year and a half ago, we decided we needed a CFO. How can I pay a CFO? First of all, I don't even draw a salary. But other people who do draw salaries, they're modest. They're like MIT salaries. So we're not going to find a very good CFO. So we decided we'd put out the request to find a CFO and that the salary would be zero. And guess what? The best people applied. Okay? Extraordinary people. People you could never touch. You could never get. And there were people who, they weren't all 65 and over, that they had retired and they were looking for something to do instead of Sunday painting. Okay? I'm talking about people in their 40s, you know, who had done it. Maybe they were influenced by their kids. They had made money. They had been successful. But then their kids said, Mom or Dad or whatever, do something meaningful. Various things. And we brought on a CFO. And our CFO was working as a CFO and then had other things on the side. And then our CFO came over the summer and decided this was really this year going to be his really full-time commitment. And we were also looking now for a president, somebody who could really run. Because I'm the first to admit, I don't know how to run anything. I'm not a manager, an administrator. I mean, I'm the vision department, and the sort of I get stuff out there and get it into the press and sort of trying it. But when it comes to running something, that's not my strength. So we needed somebody to run it. We needed a president. And our CFO, who decided that amongst other things, we're looking for a president, would make a video. So let me show you our CFO's video by escaping from here and then clicking over here and doing Apple F. Okay, so now it takes about 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Now mind you, this is our CFO who made this video. CFOs are supposed to worry about numbers, know about all of these things, and CFOs don't have vision. CFOs don't know about the sort of real stuff you're doing. But our CFO did this. Listen to the words. Then we really have to go. You've been the only thing that's right in all I've done. And I can barely look at you. But every single I nearly
if you have a choice, even if you cannot hear my voice, I'll be right beside you, dear.
So what did we do? We made our CFO our president. So Chuck Kane is the president and will be here. It's all yours.
Lars, the president doesn't know how to operate a computer.